process a little bit longer, and it will be able to help us to become more and more sustainable. And we'll be coming back to this committee to provide more details once we finalize the process that we're busy with of a turnaround. So I just wanted to give that those key points before I hand over to the CEO, who will be presenting together with the COO on the issue of sport rights, broadcasting of sports, which is one of the agenda items that we have. CEO.
Just before that, can Chair, now that the CFO is here, can you finish your introductions?
Honorable members, we've got Ms. Yolande van Biljon, who is the CFO of the SABC. I would want you to also welcome her. It's her first time in this committee today.
Van Biljon. Yeah. Thank you very much, Chair. I hope SABC will have billions now. now that Ms. Biljon is here. Welcome, ma'am. We're told that you are still delayed in the visitor center. Feel at home, feel comfortable. Thank you very much, Chair.
Good morning, honourable members. Thank you, Chair. I'm going to say a few remarks before we can get into the four key areas that we're going to cover today. I think the first point to make, despite all of the financial challenges we face, we want to put on record that as the national broadcaster, the SABC is committed to its mandate, where we want to provide compelling information that is entertaining as well as educational in all our different platforms. And we are fully aware of that responsibility, and we would ensure that it continues. And to this end, we have developed a very solid strategic roadmap. We feel that it's very robust. We also have a very solid turnaround in place that is aimed at ensuring that we position the SABC as the leading credible voice of the nation and the continent. But I think over and above that, we're planning and working towards ensuring that we're a high-performing organization, but also financially sustainable, in terms of ensuring that we fulfill our mandate. It is also important to note and also to inform the committee that we, despite all of these good plans that we have in place, we're facing serious liquidity challenges, and we're actually not able to fully settle our liabilities and ensure efficient use of operations. As you may appreciate that a financially broken public broadcaster has negative effects on us as employees, but also, as it has been shown in the past couple of months, it's quite detrimental to the local production industry, to the SMME, as well as our mandate of ensuring that we reach our citizens, and in fulfilling the mandate of being of providing information, ensuring that we provide programming that is entertaining as well as educational. So all of these liquidity challenges are affecting the whole value chain. Also, as part of strengthening and developing democracy, we do know that we have a role to educate South Africans when it comes to their right to vote. And as you can appreciate, in terms of fulfilling that mandate, it actually demands that we have sufficient finances. And where we are currently, we are not able to do this. As I said earlier on, we have developed this robust strategic roadmap. Indeed, we have very solid turnaround plans in place. We know that if we implement this turnaround plan as well as the strategic roadmap, we'll be able to get out of the historical financial issues that we faced. The focus, as the Chair said, we want to focus on accelerating and maximizing revenue generation whilst ensuring that we manage our costs. And we have in place very robust cost-cutting measures. And we're also looking as well as other financial models that will help us in terms of achieving this. I think the key message for me would be to say where the SABC is, we actually require intervention. We have been engaging with the National Treasury in terms of ensuring that we get funding. Indeed, if you look at our business model and our financial model, we're able to generate revenue, but because of all of the historical issues that we face, we're not able to operate a proper business as such. What I will now do is to ask our COO to take us through the broadcasting of sports, as well as our CFO, who will then get into the granularities in as far as finances are concerned. Over to you, Chris.
Thank you, CEO, Chairperson. We appreciate this opportunity to come and have a discussion on this important matter, which has been, I think it could be this. As I was saying, thank you very much, Chairperson. As the CEO indicated, today I'll be taking you through this important aspect related to the broadcasting of sports at the SABC. And in this regard, I'd like to begin by contextualizing it within the manner in which my CEO began. I think the CEO indicated to you that we remain committed to fulfilling our mandate, particularly our mandate related to the broadcasting and the provision of sports on the SABC. The challenge with this is that our financial situation... My phone is in my bag. I apologize for that, Chair. The unfortunate...
Maybe if I use this mic, it will be better. Should I use this mic, Chair? Okay, I think this mic is much more clear. I hope that we do not suffer from interference again while I'm trying to present. The point that I was trying to say, Chair, is that the issue of broadcasting of our sports rights is fundamental to us executing our mandate as the SABC. And in this regard, one of these things about fulfilling this mandate is that it requires a significant amount of finances, as the CEO indicated. And this is despite our commitment. Just to give you a sense of the size of this mandate, there are 22 sporting events of national importance which are stipulated in the regulations that are passed down to us by ICASA, which is our regulator. And we understand that as part of the quest of nation building and ensuring the cohesion of our country, that the broadcasting of sports, which are specified in the ICASA regulations, are of deep importance. We're also aware that generally within the public there is a deep demand for... There's a deep demand for the presence of sports on the SABC. And I think when we have failed to actually broadcast these sports, what actually happens is that there is then significant pressure for the SABC that poses a reputational impact on us to ensure that these sports are provided. In our presentation, what we did is we tried to give you a historical view of the cost of sports, just to give you a sense of the magnitude of this mandate that faces the SABC. In the presentation, we go back over a period of 5 years to really demonstrate to you that the sports rights and the attempt to acquire these sports rights has actually been done at a cost which indicates an inflationary pressure on these sports rights and their acquisition, which unfortunately, as you can see, really puts an increased burden on the SABC. We are also of the view that sports rights are set by the rights holder. So in essence, it is a seller's market. There's been an increased demand for new entrants in this landscape, and this in many ways has really resulted in this cost aspect that I relate to. For us as the SABC, we are quite aware of the fact that even as we show here, if we become very focused on minimizing the production costs of sports rights, there is still an immense pressure for us to try and ensure revenue is brought through in a sound commercial basis. But this becomes increasingly difficult, especially in cognizance of the huge unfunded mandate that is before us. All sports-related costs are funded by us as the SABC, which appear on our screens and on our radio stations. And operating losses from broadcasting these events have to be absorbed, unfortunately, by ourselves as the SABC. So the challenge that we face is that we have a mandate to broadcast what are specified as sports of national interest in our regulation. We have production costs which we must absorb also in order to bring these sports of national interest to the public. And simultaneously, our attempts to ensure that we comply with this mandate results in a significant cost to the SABC, which becomes a huge encumbrance. Just to give you a sense of this, when we talk about the total sports liability, it's said that the SABC, in terms of its acquisition of this rights, in terms of its liabilities, 60% of those liabilities lie in the acquisition of these sports rights. So you can see that had it not been for our requirement to fund this mandate, and we understand that this mandate is important for cohesion and to ensure that our people are well covered in terms of the provision of sports rights, our financial situation would have been very different. A good case in point of this, and a case study which I'd like to bring before this committee today, relates to the PSL, that is the Premier Soccer League in South Africa, which is one of the sports of national interest which we are required to cover. We entered into a 5-year agreement with the PSL for radio rights, that is, not TV rights, but for radio rights specifically. And this agreement effectively said that in return for acquiring these rights, we would provide the PSL with the equivalent value in promotional airtime. Now, this was done in order to ensure that there was not a further burden on our cash flow situation by ensuring that the exchange would not be for cash, but ultimately for airtime, which is something that we had as a matter of fact due to the fact that we have this airtime on both television and radio. However, during the past 5 years, the PSL radio rights with the SABC, comprised of the SABC having to pay all the costs to cover the PSL on radio. These costs, as I indicated, also include significant production rights in the form of our requirement to assign journalists to cover all the teams and fixtures, produce magazine shows for over 10 radio stations, as well as provide promotional airtime to the PSL and their sponsors. When we reviewed the contract as it was concluded, we, as the SABC, had significant discomfort about it, and this was on a couple of provisions. The first one is that the manner in which the contract was concluded did not allow for us to quantify what the exchange value was in airtime. We also believe that the business case for the renewal of this contract, which has expired, did not really reflect the accumulative value over a five-year period, including the airtime exposure that I referred to that we granted to the PSL. So the lack of funding of sports broadcasting on the SABC will have, in our view, in relation to the PSL, to put into consideration a couple of aspects. The first one is that when we arrived at what appeared to be an impasse with the PSL, through the required intervention of the Minister of Communications and the Minister of Sports and Recreation, we were asked to, within a month, this is by the 5th of September 2018, to arrive at a settlement with the PSL for the continuation and renewal of these sports rights. But at the same time, we were fortunately allowed, in the national interest, to also continue on radio, to continue broadcasting the soccer matches and soccer fixtures as they appeared. The SABC does not want to negotiate in a public forum with the PSL. And in this regard, we would prefer to address a lot of the commercial proposals, Chair, that we intend to put forward to the PSL directly with them, and this will be happening in the next few days as we engage them, hopefully to conclude. But if I may, Chair, continue with this issue of contextualizing this issue of this unfunded mandate of broadcasting rights. What we have done is not just provide you with a historical perspective of what the impact is of the provision of these sports of national interest, but in our presentation, which is before you, we, Chair, have humbly tried also to present what the future rights burden is of this unfunded mandate, with the hope that you would then be able to understand that our view is that funding required to assist the broadcaster for these sports of national interest and indeed special events that have been planned for the current fiscus and the next and the further 2 years that we reflect, which are mandatory and contractual commitments which we must do, come at a great burden to the SABC. So the following gaps exist in order to broadcast sporting events for the next 3 years, and we reflect them from the 2019-2020 fiscal, the 2020-21, all the way to 2022. What it actually indicates is that there's a significant funding gap that we are now appealing to this committee to indeed engage in a conscientizing of not just the regulator, but indeed, I think, the broader public of South Africa, in the interest of ensuring that it is clear to our important audiences that as much as we remain committed to fulfilling this this mandate, the challenge requires us as the SABC to come before this august committee to basically request you to have sight of the fact that we now require urgent assistance for you to help us fill this gap in funding. So in essence, as I begin to reflect on the implications of us not finding the required resources for funding this gap in our resources, It would mean, as we look forward, as part of our business risk, that we would not be able to broadcast certain important events that are designated as crucial for social cohesion of our country, and indeed are seen as essential by our audiences. We have given you examples of some of these events that are now at risk in terms of our business. There will also be, in our view, due to our failure to address the significant financial implications of the requirement of funding this, a potential reputational challenge to the SABC should we be unable to meet this funding requirement. And we're also saying that there will be an outcry from the public if we do not fulfill this important mandate. We also believe that our inability to broadcast some of these events may result in us experiencing a significant decline in some of our advertising or classic advertising revenue. What might also be a potential risk if we fail to engage in the broadcasting of this rights is that we could very well see also a decline in the TV license revenue that we anticipate we could collect as a backlash that could be experienced by the SABC. One of the things that is present in our regulations for failure to fulfill this mandate, which is largely unfunded, is that if we fail to broadcast this, the SABC could be liable for a fine of upwards or of 500,000 for contravening or failing to comply with the provisions of the Sports Broadcasting Service Regulation, that is the Sports Rights Regulation, which I referred to here. So, Chairperson, not only does the SABC have an onerous, unfunded public mandate regarding the broadcasting of national sporting events, but the SABC has not been protected by the 2010 Sports Rights Regulation. I think this is very important to note because the failure to protect the public broadcaster essentially means that the SABC has now to absorb this cost, as we have indicated to you, to absorb the possible business risk that may arise from our inability from a financial perspective to broadcast some of these sports of national importance. So the SABC over years has requested our regulator, ICASA, to review sports broadcasting regulations. The review was requested more recently in the context of ICASA's inquiry into pay TV and competition. During this inquiry, I think we made it again abundantly clear that there were a couple of issues that were structurally present in relation to the regulation of sports broadcasting, particularly in relation to the SABC, that we would request be reviewed. For example, the review of the list, these 22 national sporting events that I referred to as I began, including how the sub-licensing conditions and the pricing of sports rights is addressed. We also have requested a review of the bidding process for subsidiary rights to specify the process of determining the subsidiary rights that these are fair, and a set criteria on which fairness would be judged is clearly put out in the interest of ensuring the viability of the SABC. One of the key things that we have said is that we would like to be put into place provisions that ensure the implementation of what we describe as anti-hoarding provisions, i.e. we would ask that broadcasters do not or are not allowed to enter into a process where they hoard the rights for various sporting events In this regard, when we presented to ICASA, we referred to a process of unbundling this right, effectively saying that maybe there should be rights that are given for free-to-air broadcasters and separate rights that are provided for pay TV broadcasters. And this is really in cognizance of this huge mandate that we face. So the request to review sport broadcasting regulations comes at a time when the Department of Communications is conducting a public process to review public broadcasting with a major focus on ensuring the sustainability of the SABC in a digitized multi-channel environment. I think it's important to also realize this when we talk about the SABC, in that the SABC does not have a dedicated sports channel. And in actual fact, as we look forward to this multi-channel environment, already in the current situation that we find ourselves in, our commercial viability around sports rights is further hampered by the fact that we do not have a dedicated sports channel for the SABC. The issue of how rights are regulated will also, or also should be discussed within the context, or rather within the context of this policy review that is upcoming. Chair, I've tried in short to give you a summary of what the position of the SABC is with relation to the broadcasting of rights on the SABC. Thank you.
Chair, if I could just clarify, just for avoidance. If I could just clarify, just for avoidance of doubt, as our CEO has talked about... talked about a funding gap and the funding required. It shouldn't be construed that the SABC is asking for that funding to plug that gap necessarily. What it's showing is the shortfall given the current regulatory system, because it's how sports rights have been regulated and how the sports rights regulations have been applied over the years that have led to the escalation in costs and unsustainability. What we're asking for is not a business as usual. You know, this is how much we need for sports rights. We want the system reviewed so that the overall cost of the SABC and the obligation on the SABC is reduced in itself, just to make that clear.
Thank you, Chair. So Yolandi is going to take us through the cash flow and the payment of creditors. And I must upfront apologize because we couldn't share detailed financial statements because we have an upcoming annual general meeting on the 27th of August. Over to you, Yolandi.
Thank you very much, Chair. The topics that's been discussed at this committee becomes a stark reality every day as we have to make certain choices and critical decisions as we manage our cash in the organization. And it becomes real when you understand or you see that we, at the time of preparing this presentation, we owed 694 million rand to creditors. We had a further 400 to 500 million rand, that is what we call accrual, so they're fairly certain that they're going to materialize. There are also other cash flow implications in the sense of taxes that are due, contingent liabilities that can materialize, as well as provisions. So in the context of the revenue we have, the funding model we have, and being able to balance these payment priorities, it becomes difficult. At this point in time, we have a rudimentary prioritization system of sorts. The salaries, both of freelancers and permanent staff, get preference, and then follows the operational, call it light and water kind of stuff, that just ensure that we remain operational at least. However, you do have to sacrifice or make tough decisions when it comes to to content, for example. And the knock-on effect is a vicious circle. Since we are unable to procure content, we are unable to attract audiences and advertising, and the circle just closes at that point in time. There's also a knock-on effect in the broader environment. Our suppliers and service providers, that depends on the organization that's in the tiers of suppliers immediately related to the industry, are all affected as a consequence of this. We also find that the small, medium, and micro enterprises are specifically challenged. We do attempt to support them where we possibly can, but ultimately there is only so much money in our pots that goes around. We do the best we can. We communicate where possible. We try to share some predictability and transparency in the system so that these service providers can also plan. But the fact of the matter is the payments are just delayed. And in the process, service providers, suppliers, organizations like the independent producers, they may not necessarily have the financial ability to sustain themselves while we are in this situation. So I think that was just a few short notes, and maybe it can all be summarized in the fact that for a 600 to 700 billion rand organization, we anticipate to have 26 million rand in the bank account at the end of August. Clearly a situation that is unsustainable. If you look at the independent the producer specifically, we did enter into payment arrangements with them, informal payment arrangements. We also do that with a number of our other big suppliers, and as such you can see in the presentation a few commitments have been made with respect to payments and dates. The third and the 17th have already been honored. But you can see, since they now know that there's more coming on the 24th and the 31st, all things being equal, they're able to plan. But this is the balances that we have, the balls that we have to balance on a daily basis. And that was my story.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I am going to be taking us through the progress on the governance section. And just to say that whilst we have made some progress, we probably just 49% on resolving the AG findings for the last fiscal. As you will notice in the slides, that the biggest issue was really around the assets, which is your PPE, and also the procurement and contract management. There's been improvement on the procurement and contract management, but we have not seen as swift a move as we would have liked to see on the PPE. There's also outstanding items that are still of concern from us from an information technology point of view. However, this will be covered to an extent by some of the movements that we've made in quarter one. So from an AG findings point of view, yes, we're only 49% of where we should have been, with the bulk of it still being in progress. From the internal audit point of view, we also have got 32 that have still not implemented from a total number of 236. It's also important to note that some of the 236 audit items are also dated in the sense that it's not all that happened in 1 year. They have a history of about 2 years. So we're also seeing a movement there, but it's not as fast as we would have liked it to be. But we are making progress because we now have got a chief audit executive that is also assisting business in terms of rolling these up. So when you look at the information technology findings, most of them were around the fact that the framework didn't exist and also the policies were deficient. So we've made some movement there. In quarter one, the board of the SABC approved quite a few policies. The supply chain management policy was reviewed and approved. The IT change management policy, the conflict of interest policy, delegation of authority framework, enterprise risk management framework, and the enterprise risk management policy itself, the code of business conduct for ethics for directors, and also the code of business conduct and ethics. This was quite an important milestone for us because at this point we are now cascading these and entrenching them into the business, and they were part of the huge audit findings in the last year. But what we've also done, if you would recall, when we presented our corporate plan, we were very clear that governance is going to now take a focal area and becomes a pillar in and of itself, so that it does not become a byproduct of what we do, but becomes the focus point. And then I just want to move to the update of the issues that were raised previously. In terms of the medical aid, if you'd recall that there's about four different cases of the medical aid fraud. The one grouping, which was the Mwasa one, while the arbitration hearing was yesterday, we still don't have an outcome of that, but I do believe that is continuing. And then we also have the CWU, which is set out for arbitration on the 14th of September, where SABC will then be expected to give evidence. There's also a Labour Court review application in the matter of Tantini Matoma and the 13, which is set for sitting on the 11th of October in 2018. There was also the issue that was raised around the criminal actions that may be taken by the medical aid. At this point, what we can report is that the investigating officers has requested affidavits from all our forensic auditors in order to get a clearer sense of where we are. With regards to the TV license stuff, as we reported in the last sitting, that the 26 employees had embarked on an unprotected strike and were then subsequently dismissed. There was a conciliation meeting that was held on the 27th of July, and then it got a non-resolution certificate. We are now waiting for an arbitration date, which it will then allow us to go and give evidence in that regard. And then I think one of the issues that was reported in the media, which we felt it was important for us to come and present to the committee, is the issue of the Usela production and the cast and crew members that ended up not being paid. I think just to provide context, that the SABC has a responsibility in its allocation of its commission programs to also look at emerging and emerging producers. And this here, NCA was part of those that were identified as an emerging producer. This was the first time that the producer was producing a drama series. And we do know that these type of productions do become high risk. So SABC does have a responsibility to play an oversight role, but also has got to be mindful of the fact that this is an independent production and has got to be run in that way. So in this case, we do believe that SABC should have picked it up a little bit earlier, because, as I say, that as a high-risk project, there should have been more focus on how the funds are being dispersed. And by the time the SABC team that was supposed to be on site reported the problem to us, I think there was 13 rand left in the bank, and therefore the whole thing imploded. These two employees have since been taken to task and are facing disciplinary action, because we do believe that they could have done better. We have since exercised the takeover clause, which allows us to then pass this on to another production house that will save the production. We have then also interviewed the cast members to ascertain exactly what has gone wrong, because there were a lot of allegations in all sorts of directions. So what we've done so far is that on Friday, the 17th, we dispensed 600,000, which will be paid by stained glass to some of the cast and the crew members. And the other 600,000 has also been paid. However, it is waiting for the people to produce invoices and proof so that there can be a paper trail. It is also important for this team to note that at this stage, the SABC does not have the footage, because the crew and the directors have sort of held on to it in exchange for their wages. And so once we've paid them, we will then review to see when we get the footage, to see how far that is, and then we can take it to the next level. I think on the last issue of the unions, I would just like the CEO to speak to the wage negotiations. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you, Chair. We obviously currently in negotiations with the unions regarding annual salary increases. We have different demands as well as substantive issues from both unions. We're engaging with them, and I think where we are now, we've already tabled an offer to both unions, and we're engaging. We're hoping that this process will be concluded before the end of August. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you very much. Hey, members, we can start from the beginning. I'm not sure what's the use of that screen, because we can't see anything. Switch that thing off, even if it's paid for.
Mm.
Okay, members, there you are. I'll start with Honorable Van Damme. Any other hands? Honorable Kaba, Teddy, and I'll wait Bongo. Yeah, other hands will come. Thank you. Over to you, ma'am.
Thanks, Chair, and I apologize for my voice. I've got a bit of a cold. I came here today expecting the SABC to present a turnaround plan. A turnaround plan hasn't been presented. What has been presented is the problems. We all know what the problems are, and this is what I say every single meeting. I sound like a broken record. I say, do not come to us with the problems. We know what the problems are. What we'd like to see is innovative solutions for how the SABC is going to deal with the financial crisis, its management crises. I do not see a turnaround plan. There's no turnaround plan, essentially. It's basically, if I could summarize it, your presentation is basically saying we are in deep dwang, and we can't afford a public mandate, and therefore thus we are in deep trouble. So where's the turnaround plan? I've asked for it repeatedly, and I think the SABC needs to sit around the table, get experts from the broadcasting sector, get everyone and sit around the table and talk about how to fix the problems you can. As an example, you have the building in Sea Point. I don't know if you own it, but if you own it, that's a beachfront premium property, which if you sold would be hundreds of millions. I mean, that's an example. I don't know if you own the building or you rent it. But if you sold that building, you'd be able to make a lot of money. And also, I think there needs to be a far clearer separation between your commercial and your public mandate. I think the commercial side of it needs to be able to fund itself through advertising and so forth. But the public mandate, I'll be honest, I understand the difficulties. I understand that you required, for example, to air funerals of important people, you're required to air congresses, you're required to air sports rights. I understand that the SABC might not have enough money for the public mandate, and it's perhaps something we as a committee can talk about making sure that the SABC fulfills its public mandate, because that is actually your core responsibility. Your core responsibility is your public mandate to educate the public, to inform the public. And so those state funerals, those important announcements by the state president, those congresses of political parties, there needs to be a very, very clear discussion about how that public mandate is funded. So I do appreciate your difficulty in that regard. Your sports rights with the SABC, I also understand the complexity of sports rights. I understand they're very expensive. These are business people. They will sell their product to the highest bidder. I fully understand that. And I must say that I agree with some of the proposals suggested by the COO of approaching ICASA, with the review of regulations, the bidding rights, and the anti-hoarding provisions. I think that's a good step forward, but obviously we don't want to over-regulate, because these are businesses and they operate in the free market. So I'm looking forward to that being done. I think that's at least a step forward. Now, in terms of what happened a few weeks ago with the radio sports rights, I want to know what went down. Now, I understand that you're required to, by the 5th of September, find a mutually agreeable way with the PSL regarding radio. I want to know what happened. The chair told us about the meeting he was at. He was there representing us as the body that conducts oversight over you. I want to understand what the discussion was. I want to understand why you allowed ministerial involvement, and you actually say it was required ministerial involvement. It was an issue between the SABC and the PSL. There was no need for any ministerial involvement. It was overstepped by the ministers, and you should not have allowed ministerial involvement because that is an overstep of your mandate. So I really would like to hear what happened after the meeting the chair left. What has been agreed? What was agreed with the minister? I wish she was here. I don't know why she's not here. Why? What was agreed between the minister and the PSL? Because you don't have the money to pay for the PSL. I mean, you don't have money to pay producers. Where did you suddenly have money to pay the PSL? So I really want the full details of what happened there with the minister. And then a matter between the DA and the SABC. I know the matter is before the BCCSA, and we look forward to meeting you there on the 5th of September. Please don't use the sub judice rule here with me. This is not a court of law. I have a few questions that I'd like answered, and please don't say sub judice. The BCCSA is not a court of law. I want to know from whom that video was received. I want to know whether GCIS was involved in distributing the video. I want to know who, I need names, the person who viewed that video and then, after viewing it, decided to air it as a broadcast by the state president, despite having viewing it and having seen it was a party political message, and still decided to air it as the state president. I want to know that. And I want to know who then made the decision later on to change it to a broadcast by a special address by the ANC president. So I'd like answers to those questions, and I need names and sub judice won't work. And then the issue of Saudi Monsuneng, there's the issue obviously of the money owed to us, and in the public interest there's a proposal. We've given you the opportunity to come up with a suitable proposal, which I'm sure the lawyers are discussing. I just want an update about the 21 million that Mr. Motsuneng owed SABC, and the SIU had issued a summons. What's the update on that case? Because I haven't seen any further information about that. So if you could just provide an update on that. Thanks, Jay.
Yeah, I'll come to Mr. Pap. Mr. Pap.
I'll come to you, Mr. Pap, but just a few issues to clarify. And I think members will deal with that. As for the minister on apologies, it was reported that he's held up in Pretoria, so there was an apology. Deputy Minister on sick leave. On the question of turnaround strategy, presented here by the chair, there was a communication between the chair and the minister, and I was told it came late on Friday after 3, whilst everything is in there is something called a Z list in Parliament, and it was difficult to change the items in the agenda, but it was agreed that the turnaround strategy is still worked out. There was that request from the minister, and it was agreed that in the next meeting or so we'll get the full briefing on it. Hence the presentation from the chair of the board. So in relation to that, at the meeting agreed that We don't deal with that because of the request and the final stages that it's being developed or finalized. I wanted to clarify those members can also deal with other issues. Honorable Kaba.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I think we welcome.
Can you lift the wires? The forward. don't accuse Honorable Blanc for what he is. It's not blocking any. It's not blocking any network.
No, thanks, Chair. I think we welcome the presentation as done by the board. I think it is evident that the work the board seeks to be doing, it's really in line with bringing SABC board to its full confidence, particularly to our nation and the people. So the work indeed is welcomed. However, Chair, in focusing to the presentation, I think that will assist. I just wanted to check with regard to the strategic roadmap, perhaps as to what does it talk to, and also the time span of it to be implemented. And then secondly, Chair, which will be my last matter to raise, will be on the public pressure and condemnation when it failed to broadcast the events around issue of sports. If those complaints were they captured elsewhere so that the trend in going forward we could then attempt or ensure that it does not get repeated, because if this had came, it should not come again. We must have a way in which it should not be raised within the public as problematic. However, it is evident that there must be some form of intervention around issue of assistance for funding. I thought it's important that we focus to the presentation. Thanks.
Let me join my colleagues in welcoming the presentation, Chair. Safe to say I'm partly covered with by my colleagues in terms of some of the issues that I needed to raise. I was looking at the... I agree with the challenges that confront you regarding sports rights. Looking at the slide on page 7, giving you the highlights of what has been happening in the past 5 years. Really, this is a very serious challenge. But I suspect that should be part of the turnaround strategy that you indicated earlier that we'll get as a matter of agency. But I'll obviously want to be clarified on your TV license fees collection strategy, given some of the proposals that we've made in the past. So I'll appreciate if you can just try and clarify what is it that we intend doing to attend to that very critical aspect. The second last one, the presentation says little or no return on investment for sport rights. And I was saying to myself, what is it that exactly you mean with regard to that investment that you are talking about? So we'll appreciate if you can as well talk to that particular aspect. The cash flow is also a very worrying. The cash flow and payment, it's also a very worrying factor to me, looking at the fact that we are not able to pay the creditors, the 694 million and the letters of demand as presented. We'll as well appreciate to if you can then talk to those two aspects. How then do you intend dealing with them going forward? But over and above, I think given all those challenges, we appreciate the effort that you are making in trying to attend to all these challenges that you are faced with. As I've been clear, Chair, that some of the issues that I need to raise, I think my colleagues have raised them early. Thanks.
Yes. Thank you very much. I think I want to join the colleagues to welcome the presentation. And other issues I think have been raised. So I'll start. I think the presentation there's a reference to public national interest. I'm just drawing a keen interest to know what is the view of the SAPC around, what is their view around, what is the national interest in terms of what it is in the presentation, because I see public national interest and so on, what has been agreed by the public broadcast as a national interest. And secondly, the issue of the cash flow. There are numerous complaints around the, particularly from small business, who are doing work with SAPC, with the issue of payments. The complaints are around failure to being paid within a specified time, which then destroy their businesses. I just want to your comment around those kind of issues. But from where you took the over and the complaints and the challenges that you are raising, I think what is lacking is innovation from your part in terms of changing the situation around. Because like you are running as business as usual, just having taken over, because there is an issue around the IPs, the intellectual property of SAPC. How do you want to use the IPs to assist the financial situation that you have? And there is an issue around the, now we're told, because the issue around funds, it must not come like there's money, because every department that comes here, everyone who come and present to parliament and portfolio committees raises the issue of funds. But all we're looking for is that how do you want, I'm not raising the issue of 10 around strategy in the same form of Honorable Van Damme, but around this issue of the sporting rights, how do you want to turn it around? Because I see you want to review this and that, but we're not saying how this review is going to assist us either gain more funds or stabilize. But it's just like it's a lamentation. I think I want you to be able to assist us to say this is how I want to turn it around. The challenges are there, but we want a turnaround. And one issue, Chair, you raised earlier is around the issue of, I think we must not brush it, the issue around women. It was not that just brush it, it's a very, very serious matter that both the board must deliberately take certain action towards ensuring that there are women in that sector, particularly in the board and in the management. It must be a deliberate action. It must not be just brushed over. And there is an issue in the presentation here, but there is an issue. Others are talking about it positive, others negative. They are saying it's fourth industrial revolution. What is our preparedness to engage with what we call fourth industrial revolution? And how is it going to affect the challenges that are there already? Both in the sporting sector and in all other sectors. But I also agree with Honorable Van Damme. I agree with her to an extent that the commercial must be able to deal with funding on its own, and the public mandate must be able to be compensated from the public purse. I think there I agree, but I also differ with Honorable Van Damme when he says the sub judice role. I think he wants to kowtow the sub judice role. It's a principle that is just there. So you can't kowtow them. If a matter is sub judice, it isn't the sub judice. So we must not want to kowtow them on issues that are just principles of law, generally. And what we are also, not saying, our deliberate action around this issue of TV license, and how do you want to deliberately make sure that, because general people are not paying. So what is our innovative way of trying to make sure that we push people to pay? What have we put in to make sure, because if people can pay, and we have a deliberate program of action that people must pay the TV license, some of these issues and the challenges that have been raised will be generally mitigated. So, generally what I'm seeing, Chair, is that if we can put a bit of innovation in terms of how we want to deal with the challenges that are already there, and the issue of the IPs, because that matter, the matter that was raised in one meeting I attended in Johannesburg, the intellectual property of the SADC, how can we use it to mitigate issues that relate to funding? Thank you, Chairperson.
Yeah, I think Honorable Tsedi and Bongo are correct. SABC must really come up with a strategy to ensure that TV licenses are paid. I think that's what the two members are saying. I won't get to the issues of kowtowing.
Honorable
Kalago.
Thank you, Chair. Mine, Chair, is just a clarity on. Firstly, I'm very much interested in this review of these regulations we are talking about, sports rights regulations. But I'll be very much interested if you can, of course, you can adjust, elaborate your concerns in these regulations, so that we can see if we are on par with you on the issue of sports rights broadcasting regulations. And also, I think, Chair, we need to engage ICASA on our own also on the same issue. And also, I remember, I know the department before ENCA pushed then acting DG of the communication. They were presenting something around pay TV and competition to ICASA. I don't know where those discussions ended, which also were meant towards alleviating the funding of the SABC. I think the stakeholders were challenging that. But I don't know where it ended. That's why I'm saying, Chair, we need to have a separate meeting with ICASA and deliberate on these things. And also, as you have tabulated what you will present to ICASA when the process starts, I don't know so far what have been your engagements with ICASA on the issue itself, so that it is ICASA takes it as an urgent matter, not just as that, because here the issue is about funding of the SABC, and I'm sure when you some of the issues you are raising here is on looking into the list which is under public mandate. I'm sure you'll be, when it comes to that, you will have to enter into some discussion around that. So it's going to be important that ICASA begin also to explain to us how far are they on this issue. Because to me, that's the most important thing, which you have to deal with. You know, well, it's just my comment, my opinion, Chair. I think there's nothing wrong with the minister intervening on issues of SABC as far as funding is concerned, especially when there's a controversy. He must not wait for us to say intervene, what is happening there, because we're not going to only ask you as a board. We ask and attack her or him. As the political office bearer of the SABC, he's got that right to actually try to get what is the problem. And if it's possible to assist in making sure that the board and SABC executives solve the problem. So to me, I don't think there's something wrong. We are a government here. We are not just politicians sitting here. If you are given a responsibility as a political office bearer, you must do your work. That's not interference. The interference will be when he actually tells the SABC how to run its affairs and interfering in administration and issues of the port, because those are indeed, that's how we understand independence. Otherwise, we don't need government. You can just continue. If we say when political office bearers intervene, we say it's interference. But in as long they don't interfere of how you run, you manage, and you make sure that the public broadcaster is actually a representative of the people publicly. So to me, Chair, I'll differ with Honorable Van Damme on that issue. And also, you know, the issue of where I will differ. Selling of SABC property. I know you were not, you were just making an example. Selling of SABC property in order to generate revenue. I'll agree in those ones which are costing you and you don't need them. But that is not a solution. It's a one-off. You'll sell it and you use that money. As long you don't have you have not developed a sustainable plan for revenue, that won't be a solution. But you have to look into that. I'm not saying you don't have to look into that, but itself, it's not going to solve the problem of the SABC when it comes to funding. But I think some of the issues they point to us, Chair. the representation of women in the SABC board is us. It's our fault, it's not yours. It's not yours, it's us who actually were appointing. That women, of course, others resigned. It's our task to make sure that we fill that those gaps to make the board representative. You can't tell us what to do about that. That's our part. In as far as we make the gender representation in the SABC when you fill positions, vacancies, that's your task there. We can't interfere, we can't tell you. But in as far as board is concerned, I think it's us who must actually make sure that we resolve that issue, we correct the problem now in these vacancies, which, because the vacancies are before us already. Thank you, Chair.
And so
you have noted areas that you don't need to respond to. I think Honorable Kalako did respond to some of the issues. Because number one, the issue of yourselves as the board. I think that one is very clear. But also you can generate revenue. Property, it's something that is very important. It's like owning a house, even if you own five, don't sell them. You can generate revenue without selling the property. I want to agree with him on those bases. Because we are still grappling with a number of issues that belongs to us as this government, and we sold them. One of those things is land. One of those things is land. Because land, was just sold to people who don't even belong here, apart from the land that was grabbed from us. So you just need to, because I think you can generate revenue without selling it, it's the point, as ABC. So look at options on how to raise funds. But let me just make my points. Some of the points were grabbed by Honorable Kalak, because I wanted to clarify those issues. The last presentation was on matters raised in relation to just clarity to the employees of SAPC. Most of them are with CCMA and all of that. But they're categorizing the unions, Ms. Pillis. You raise the MWASA issues, CW issues, and the issues that belong to BIMAU. You were saying there's no unfair dismissal dispute before the CCMA on the following. But just clarify further as to what is happening as we speak. I see the dates there on those. Because obviously there is nothing we can do and you can do before those processes are finalized. I think that's what we are saying. In relation to the medical case issues. I haven't seen the television, the 26. Is it the next slide? What were you saying on it? Just to be very clear on those ones.
What I was saying, Chairperson. Yes. And this is slides are short.
Thank you. Okay. You can proceed.
I was saying that it went to the CCMA and we received a non-resolution certificate, which then means the next step is for it to go to arbitration. So we have not been given the date for the arbitration.
Okay. Now,
not on Kowtow. Okay, can you, because I'm sure you wanted to respond to, you don't, okay.
No, we had our own small debate about the sub judice, and I think my colleague has it wrong. But my question is, at the end of the month, the SABC has 29 million or billion at the end of the month. 26 million. How are you going to pay your staff? How are you going to do anything?
Okay, let us have
the responses. There are so many questions, and please don't respond to the issues that were responded to. Don't complicate your life on those ones. It's ours. And the Kalakwe did respond to them. Board Chair, for record.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you, colleagues, and thank you, honorable members, for all the input and questions. I will answer some questions and allocate some to my colleagues. Let me start with the transformation on the employment equity for women. I'm happy to report that 17 of group executives at SABC, we have a total of 17. Out of that 17, 9 are women. So you would have seen the appointment that we've made in the past, I'll say 6 months to 8 months. We've appointed more women than men. So we are making really good progress on that specific one. The other issue that I want to just answer is the issue of 21 million rand relating to the former COO, Mr. Saudi Muswane. That issue was a subject of SIU investigation, working with the Vaxman, the lawyers that are processing those reports. So that issue is currently being processed in court. It's been contested. So, but we are chasing, we are following up on that 21 million. I do want to make this comment that a lot of the issues we face as the SABC has to do with the regulatory framework and policy issues. When the COO was presenting challenges we have around sports rights, you can see that there is a number of regulatory issues that needs to be addressed for us to be able to manage the sports rights issue. That's the first thing. The second thing is we need government guarantee. So there is work that needs to be done around the government guarantee thing. But when you look at the sport issue, it is not only the SABC mandate to drive sports development in this country. That's why in that meeting, the Minister of Sports and the Minister of Communication had to be involved, but also the Minister of Communication is a shareholder representative role. So as a shareholder representative, she had to be involved in assisting with that. But reality is, it does not interfere with our independence. When the COO was reporting, for an example, he said, we will be engaging with PSL in the next couple of days. That's left for us to really deal with. So there is no interference. But at the end of the day, we are also saying we need other role players to play their part in the sports issue. And that's why we had to have audience and engage with all of those people so that they can understand where the challenges are. Now, I want to now allocate the issue of the turnaround strategy or roadmap. The CEO will deal with that, and a subset of that is the property strategy, which the CFO will deal with. The other issue that I want dealt with is the issue of the video that the president of the country, basically the question coming from Honorable Van Damme, Michael will address that question, where we are, what's happening with that. NOMSA will deal with the issue around TV license collection, where we are, what we're doing about that. There was a question around national interest. What do we categorize as national interest? Norms, I will deal with that. There's a question around cash flow, our bank balance. The CFO will deal with that. The fourth industrial revolution, Michael will deal with the fourth industrial revolution, including the IT question. There was a question around sports rights regulation. Which are those regulations? What exactly we have in mind? Michael will deal with that. There was a question around the unfunded mandate. The COO will address the issue of the unfunded mandate. And that's basically the question that we're asking. That's how we're going to tackle them. I'll start with the CEO.
Thank you, Chair. I know that Honorable Van Damme is saying that we're repeating things that have been reported on in the past. I think the reason why we're doing this, we're actually responding to the four key questions that were raised, and when the committee said to us they needed an update on all of these, this is exactly what we thought we'd do. But I would want to talk specifically to the whole issue of strategy. I can assure you, Honorable Members, that we have developed a strategic roadmap that looks at the strategy, it looks at the plans, but most importantly, it gets into different divisions like radio, how we're going to turn it around, TV, and so forth. What we have done is we've ensured that it goes through the governance processes within the organization, and the board has approved this. We are actually now engaging with relevant and as well as the shareholder to make sure that what we're going to submit to this committee, it does indicate the imperative of the SAPC in turning it around. Also, the reason why we could not report today is because there's financial modeling that we've included in that strategy. And as you may appreciate, this is also in line with the annual general meeting that will be held on the 27th. But I can assure you, we believe that with that strategy, which is really anchored on financial sustainability, we'll be able to deal and engage with all of the issues that we have. But I think I also need to emphasize that because of all of the historical issues we have financially, that strategy, the plans as well as the activities to turn around the SAPC, we will need funding in terms of ensuring we do it. Thank you, Chair.
Michael?
Thanks, Chairperson. Honourable Van Damme, I'm not going to throw the sub judice rule in defence, but I am going to give you another defence, and that is editorial independence. This board is not involved, nor should it be involved in any way, shape or form in interfering with the editorial independence of our news division. I think that we respect their editorial independence. Even if I had those facts that you've asked for, which we don't necessarily have the who did what when, I think it would actually indicate that the board is integrally involved in editorial decision making, which you know and I'm sure you would be against, because ultimately editorial independence must sit with the head of news, which it currently does. The DA has made a complaint, as is its right to do so, in the BCCSA. Our editorial team will come and answer for themselves, will respond to all of those questions that you've asked. If the BCCSA found that the SABC behaved wrongly, then we will all learn from it. But I think that it wouldn't do justice, and it's not about sub judice, it's about the board wanting to recognize the editorial independence of our news team who took those decisions that you have complained about. We can't answer for them now here. I think it would be unfair on the news team if we did so.
Their hands. But I thought the two dealt with the issue of... It's not about that. Okay. Bongo is right. Just hold on, Honorable Van Damme. I thought it's something else. Now, all of them will respond. I'm mindful of the time because we 1 o'clock is just around the corner. Respond without being interfered or interrupted until you finish, and then members, please, Nani, don't just note what you want to raise. Don't panic. We are in this thing together. So let's have that mindset. Mike, just finish your responses.
Chair, Honourable Fanon, I want to assure you, and I was just trying to continue on that the board, as you well know, was not involved in whatever shape or form.
Maybe the other thing. Just talk to the chair.
Yeah.
Just talk to the chair, because once you keep on calling the names, they will, provoked. They will be provoked. Talk to me.
Apologies, Chair. We just wanted to reiterate, and it's not, as I said, it was not about sub judice. On the 5th of September, the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa is going to be hearing a complaint filed by the DA against the SABC for how it handled the particular video of the ANC president in his statement on land expropriation without compensation. That is being dealt with at a self-regulatory complaints body, which the SABC team that is dealing with it and were responsible for those decisions will be responding there too. What we just wanted to reiterate is not a question of not wanting to answer questions. It's just that we are not initially apprised of all the independent editorial decision-making that was made by our management team. And our view is that we should not be involved in those issues in any event. So that's our view, Chairperson.
But also I think, Kalubisa from Melena, that they will finish. But let us not get into what we agreed upon. That won't do. Because this thing of the cases and all of that, sometimes it creates... I think we agreed that the cases are in court. Ima, are you done?
Point of clarity, Chair, it's not in court. A self-regulatory body.
I understand that. I understand that. Can we get? I'll come to you. I'll come to you. The court issue was just a slip of the tongue. So let's proceed.
The question was not directed at the board. The board should not interfere in editorial decisions, and that is why I was not asking the question to the board, because I was not in any way insinuating that the board should be involved in making the decisions. Next to you sits the SABC's editor-in-chief. There's the head of television. Those are the people I was asking the questions from, not from the board members.
What was your delegation, where was it going?
Thank you, Chairperson. Do we address the second question, or
no,
we continue answering?
Let's continue.
Okay. Michael, if you may please answer the question on Fourth Industrial Revolution, IP, as well as sports rights regulations. Those three in a basket.
Okay.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll hand an IP to Norm, but let me just deal. In terms of the Fourth Industrial Revolution, Chairperson, the board has formed this year a digital technology committee to focus primarily on the issues around the digitization of society. One of the key issues that we focus on, there are two real key issues. One is the digital migration, and as you know, the minister has appointed a digital migration advisory council, which we hope will escalate digital migration onto satellite and DTT platforms. And this board committee is helping provide strategic oversight for management in order to achieve this. But the second most important thing, Chairperson, is that the SABC is a little bit behind in developing its online mobile app strategy. We realize that there's a huge opportunity for the SABC to reach out to its audience, particularly on mobile phones. And we are currently developing mobile apps to look at how we get our phones, also noting the data challenges for content, but we're looking at creative ways when we do launch our app strategy to get all our radio stations and all our television content onto mobile applications, which is really part of the fourth industrial revolution. How do we digitize and mobilize our society? SABC is busy with that, and we're hopeful in this coming fiscal that we'll be able to launch our apps. We are wanting to do a news app before the elections, so that will probably be our first mobile app that we launch in this process. But digital is a big focus for this board. It's absolutely mission critical to the business. On the sports rights regulations, SABC has raised it in the past, and we'll probably go into more detail with ICASA, but I think what's happened, Honourable Chair, is that those regulations of 2010, it's over 8 years old, and 8 years is a massive amount of time in this very fast-moving space. The original intention of the regulations were to give access to South Africans who didn't have access to pay TV, so to ensure that sports of national interest would not just be trapped on pay TV platforms, but they were accessible to South Africans. So the principle of access was very key. Unfortunately, an unintended consequence of these regulations is that the Sports Rights Association, knowing that the SABC had to broadcast it, were able to, without any checks or balances, escalate pricing of the rights. So the SABC was forced into a situation, well, we've got to carry it, they know we've got to carry it, it's regulated, so there was no issue around pricing. So we would want to see how, we talked about the unbundling of rights, I think our CEO talked, there's lots of things we'd like to see involved there. We would like to also look at the list again. I think that the list maybe is too long. We maybe need to see how we can input on it. You know, PSL tournaments are regarded as national sporting events, but in fact they are, it's a club competition, not a national team. So there are those quirks that are on the list. And then what we'd like to just see is some more criteria on bidding, fairness, sub-licensing, and anti-hoarding. We will obviously go into more detail at the appropriate time. We know that the pricing of sports rights is not just an issue for us. We know that even for multi-choice, it's an issue for them and for our other competitors, ENCA. So it's not a purely SABC-related problem. Just on the IP issue, I think that my colleague Nomsa will take care of the IP issue.
I can just deal with all my issues.
Yes, Nomsa, you can deal with all the questions that were allocated to you.
Okay, so on the issue of IT, we do recognize that actually a lot of potential in terms of the revenue lies in that space. And what we have subsequently done in our turnaround strategy that the CEO talks about, there's a lot of focus on content exploitation. We are also in the process of repurposing our programming so that we are able to export it, so that we can start to see revenue out of it. In addition to that, what we are also doing is to look at arrangements where we have got partnerships with producers, where they can own part of the IP and we also own part of it, so that the content that we develop goes beyond just SABC being the one that owns all the commissioning, all the rights, and therefore it does not give us revenue downstream. So that's some of the things that we're doing. And I think in terms of just making reference to other things that we are doing, the chairperson started to talk about retransmission fees, to say that we do believe that at this point that we should be getting paid for our channels. So there's a lot of focus on us starting to get money out of being a carriage channel. So that's some of the things that we're looking at. And then in terms of the separation of the PCS TVS, we welcome that the committee is raising the issue, and we hope that when we do come and put the submission here, it will be supported, because the intention of the separation was exactly that, that the commercial must then be able to stand on its own. However, the commercial arm of the SABC is still settled with all the other SOE regulations, whether it's PFMA, whether it's treasury regulations, all of those things. So the regulatory framework needs to actually change so that it allows us. And what has happened is that it actually inhibits us, even with the strategic partnerships that we so desire. Because every time that you want to partner with somebody, there's this entire process. By the time, you know, you get to the end of it, that the partner has lost interest, because there's just so much that is at stake. And then there was an issue that was raised around us having to explain the difference between national interest and public interest. I think sometimes it gets used interchangeably, but national interest is really attached very much to our mandate. And the public interest is that which does not necessarily tick the ICASA license, but it does raise an interest from what people want to hear. Such an example, when a musician passes and we don't actually carry the thing live, it's not a national interest, but it becomes public interest, because people then say, but we want to see our heroes there. So it is that separation. Sometimes it does become blurred, because, you know, it can become subjective, but generally national interest is what is articulated in the license in and of itself. I think I've covered everything that I was asked to.
Thank you. The CFO, if you may cover your questions.
Thank you, Chairperson. Starting at the top, firstly, with respect to the property strategy, if I can put it that way, we have recently had our properties valued, and we're working with experts to support us in terms of the way forward with all our properties, whether it be repurpose them, sell them, use them, lease them, whatever the case may be. The timelines we're looking at somewhere in the next 6 months. In a phased approach, we hope to address all our properties. That's certainly the plan. If you look at TV licenses in general and the strategies that we are using to enhance the collection, firstly, we are making more and more use and having significant successes via all social media and electronic platforms. We are looking at reintroducing a bulk mailing solution, because there are still people who do not have access to these mediums, so we will still be printing invoices, etc., and sending them out. We are looking at a specific initiative around the debt that's older than 3 years, and that should gain momentum sometime in the next few months. And then we've got a number of initiatives to encourage people to consider payment, from competitions to vouchers, all these kind of things, and the response is quite good. It might be worth noting that the collection for the year to date is already better than the comparative period for last year, so it's actually looking quite good. We are also going into the typical high revenue generating month, but we do have a problem with our repeat licensees at this point in time, and we are figuring out what is stopping them from taking out a TV license and how we encourage them to do so again. Matters related to cash flow, if you look at the letters of demand that we get, usually we engage with a service provider to find a in-between road where we are able to honor the commitments that we make, but allowing them also to carry on business. We do want to respect them at least and show that we've got sympathy with their situation. So even if it's a little bit spaced out in between, we try to help where we can. It also speaks to the small, medium, and micro enterprises. What we do is we set aside a specific amount to cover, for example, all balances below 100,000 rand, and then we pay those. We allocate money in that respect. Failure to payment, I've addressed, innovative TV licenses. Then with respect to the bank balance, the anticipated 26 million rand balance is after we have paid our employees and our freelancers. It also allocates about 25% of the 700 million payment for about approximately 25% of that. That's all we can afford at this point in time, and the rest we then phase it through the month. As the money comes in, we are able to make more payments.
COO?
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I've been actually asked to talk about the issue of the public mandate and how we engage with the public mandate. I think that the challenge with it is that we have indicated that with regards to...
Maybe I can speak.
I apologize to my chairperson for removing him from his chair. I've been asked to talk about the issue of the public mandate. There are a couple of issues that I wanted to raise around the public mandate. That in terms of our regulation, we are required to both provide coverage of events of national importance. These events of national importance are well stipulated and defined. We're also required in terms of the regulation to cover sports of national interest. We indicated that there were 22 of these sports of national interest that were required to cover. And I think the challenge that I face also on reviewing the legislation is that when we look at the Electronic Communications Act, specifically Section 2T, it talks about the fact that there is a need to protect the viability of the public broadcaster. Now, this is at odds with the fact that at the same time, we are required to cover a number of mandated issues without regard to where the funding of these mandated issues are, especially when read in jointly with the Electronic Communications Act. I think for us, what we are effectively saying is that we both also acknowledge and also agree with what was put forward here, where there is a requirement to separate or differentiate between what is known as our public commercial mandate and our public service mandate. And this has been indicated by NOMSA here, who also indicated that we're in agreement with this. But the challenge with it is that there is no due regard, in our view, to where the funding of this mandate comes from. And we believe that if we're allowed to carry out our commercial arrangements in a commercial sense, without the impediments that are brought on by the various regulatory and indeed legislative provisions, it would be easier for us to then move or go to government to see how we can look at engaging in this important issue of our public service mandate. In this regard, I think what I would like to end on is a good example of this is with our sports. One of the things that we have said, and we've given a number of indications on what needs to be done around our engagement with ICASA, around the anti-hoarding, the unbundling, of course, of the sports rights, and indeed looking at how the bidding is done in order to ensure a fair value, with due regard to the fact that these sports organizations in many ways have a commercial mandate. I think what we're effectively saying is that there needs to be a conversation, especially in this forum, about how we can begin the funding program that looks at the very public and national mandate that is given to the SABC.
Thank you. You can come back, Chair. Members, those are the... Are you done, Chair?
Not done.
Chair.
Okay, let me come in, Michael.
Sorry, Chairperson. Just to give a little bit more context to this whole public broadcasting service and public commercial service. in the Broadcasting Act, it separates out public commercial and public broadcasting. What we found, Chairperson, is that it actually doesn't work, because you've got services that are regarded as public that are very profitable, like Ukhozi or SABC One. Then you've got services that are supposed to be commercial that are not doing that well. So the SABC, in the process of reviewing the funding of public broadcasting, is going to ask for that to be removed, because ultimately the viability of the SABC needs to be seen as a whole. You know, I think in the past, Chairperson, if it was an African language station, the regulator automatically made it a public mandate thing, just because it was African language. It doesn't work like that, because we found that some African language stations are very profitable. So I think that that nuance between public versus commercial is not helpful to us at the moment. We're just looking at an overall sustainability issue, but we do have a public mandate that needs to be funded.
Thank you, Michael. I just want to ask the CEO just to conclude on a few other things and fill the gaps. The issue of also of the BCCSA, if the CEO can just cover it. Saudi, I did answer.
Thanks, Chair. I would like, Chair, through you to... It's okay. I would like, through you, Chair, to just respond on the question by Honorable Van Damme. First of all, indeed, I'm the editor-in-chief, but upon referral, not on operational matters. The news team ably deal with those matters. But I think now the second point is this matter was not even escalated at my level. But I think what is important, the position of the SABC, as you clearly know, immediately when you filed the complaint against the SABC to the BCCSA, they immediately responded to you on the 8th. And I think what confused the process was, whilst the SABC was dealing with that matter, then simultaneously pressure was put upon them to broadcast the recording that was sent to them. And the decision that the team then took was to, rather than getting into a dual process, to wait for all of those BCCSA processes to unfold, then we can take it from there once we know where we're going. So that really for me is the position, and I think when the team briefed me on this, I felt it's a logical position to take. Thank you.
Mr. Sedi. On this one, Chair, two issues. I won't need responses on this one. The first one is what you have been saying earlier on, Michael, talking to events of national interest and public, unfunded public mandates or whatever. There are no mandates that must not make sense if they are there in terms of the Broadcasting Act as it relates to what the broadcaster, the public broadcaster is supposed to be doing. So there are no mandates that must not make sense. All mandates might make sense so long as they are clearly stated that this is what is expected of you. I'm raising this thing because events of public mandate and what you call of national interest or whatever, these are issues that are going to be with you so long as you continue to exist. So you are doing disservice to us as the portfolio committee if you continue to come to us and complain and not provide solutions in terms of how best are you going to deal with these things going forward. So you are doing disservice to us as the portfolio committee, because these things will continue to be there whether you like it or not. So we expect you to come to us next time to say this is how we are going to deal with these issues, because they will continue to be there. As I've indicated, I won't need responses on this one this time around. The last one, issues that we are raising here, Chairperson, we don't raise them for compliance purposes. We raise them because we want them to be attended to. So that's why we had earlier on agreed with you. I think we've agreed with all the entities that report to this portfolio committee that
issues that we raise should be standard practice, that issues that we raise as the portfolio committee, every time you come back to us, you must then be able to give us progress report in terms of all these issues that we have raised. We don't raise them for compliances. Otherwise, there's no reason why we must continue to invite you to come and engage with you. So all I'm saying is that it should be standard practice, Chairperson, that every time you come back to us, there should be a slide that talks to issues that we have raised in our previous engagements with you, so that all these issues must not get lost, like we have done today. We have raised quite a number of issues. The issue of, I'm raising this thing because I'm personally worried about the issue of TV license strategy. This is one issue that has been raised on quite a number of issues, on a number of occasions. And we have not been getting convincing reason why this issue cannot be addressed. Thanks, Chair.
Panda?
Let me say this, Chair. I've got other questions which I think are better suited for in written form, which I'll submit in written form. Let me say this. The presentation today has left me cautiously optimistic. I look forward to seeing the turnaround plan. I'm glad that I'm in, maybe it didn't appear in the presentation, but in the answering, it seems like the SABC has a handle on issues. So I'd like to say that from my side, I mean, I think I'm probably their harshest critic. I am cautiously optimistic. Please do not disappoint us. When you present a turnaround plan, it must be a proper turnaround plan, that we don't have to have another turnaround plan, because this is what government is famous for, turnaround plans for SAA, turnaround plans for every SOE. So please make sure that that turnaround plan will impress us and will work.
More hands? No hands. I think we've done justice on this presentation. Chairman is very clear that, as I said earlier, we are together in this marriage. It's very clear that, as Honorable Fandam says, and what we demand as the PCC, You are getting there. I think this is what the committee says. You are getting there. And many issues, apart from the responses, what you do sits comfortable with the committee. Because I think where you are doing right, we must encourage you. Where we need to be harsh, I think the members are capable of doing that. When we do that, don't think that we hate you, but want you to do the right thing for South Africans. Because SABC is a South African broadcaster, and therefore everything that we do must do right. I think the committee secretary has captured the issues that were raised, because I still think that we really need to engage ICASA on these sporting regulations. I think we really need to do that. I think, Chris, you were spot on when you were raising this. I think it was you. We need to get there. And then I think the Honorable Kalako did raise it. We'll have to engage ICASA on that, so that together we move forward. Well, we're the fifth parliament, and we are towards the end. Honorable Machoba, we're towards the end of the fifth parliament. And we must hand over to those who are coming a very clear report as to how far we have taken, at least SABC, as when we came as a problem entity of us as communication, but also as our entity. Those who were here in 2016 will recall how bad things were. In terms of what the board was doing and everybody else was doing, it was very difficult. And I think we have turned the corner now together to ensure that we succeed. So that handover to the next, to the sixth parliament. That is why we're so, we're dealing with things, you know, we want to deal with things with speed so that as we hand over, we hand over a very clear report. But thank you very much, both Chair and the team. Where we are doing very badly as this PCC, in terms of the board and SABC, we are okay. But we have been having acting DG since 2014 in this department. Well, the minister is not here at the team. Honorable Bongo, we have been having acting DG so-and-so, acting DG so-and-so, and all of that. But I think in terms of the entities, we are fine. That's where we need to finalize things, honorable members, so that we have at the head communications department where people who can drive a work of the department. That goes to GCIS as well. Remember, we don't have a DG in GCIS, we don't have a DG in communication. But in terms of the entities, we're okay. Thank you very much. You can go because we are going to deal with minutes now. And I hope we have. Go well, Chairperson and your team.
Thank you.
Greetings to the capital of this country. Gauteng. Okay,
Papa?
That means it will be 15 minutes and then.
Papa?
Oh, giving the program as well.
I will give it to you now. Right, fine.
Okay. Okay. Members, I think we are ready to deal with minutes now. Ignore the program. It's disorganized by a number of issues. We'll send to you the program on Thursday morning. The draft program, you'll get it on Thursday morning. We are now on minutes, and I hope they are in order. No, I can't have 27, 1st March, and then 20th after that. Can you start on the 6th of March and 13th of March, 20th of March, 27th of March, in that order? The 6th, 13, 20, 27. Page 1, minutes of the 6th March. Page 2, the other thing that must appear next meeting, from this meeting, it will have to be an attendance register at the back. The attendance register that you sign must be attached at the back. Page 1, page 2, anything on page 3? Page 4. Can I hear the mover? Minutes of the 6, and then please say it so that it's recorded. Honorable Machoro? Adoption of the minutes of the 6th March? Get the nearest one.
Oh, okay, sorry. Okay, try again.
Yeah,
try again. Try again. Air position. Try again.
Okay. I move with the adoption of the minutes of the 6th of March.
Second.
I'm seconding, Chair.
Minutes of the 6th done.
And then minutes of the 13th March, page 1, page 2, the other thing that we must check, the mover and the second must be, yeah, said he was there, which minutes? We are on page 1 on minutes of the 13th. Page 2? Page 2? Page 3? Page 4? Any mover? Minutes of the
13th? I move, Chair. I take the message right.
Thank you very much, Honorable Bongo. Second?
Second, Chair.
Honorable Kalako, second. This take it as read, Honorable Bongo, doesn't work. Page 1 of minutes of the 20th. Page 2. Page 3, which committee is next door? They are making noise.
Telecommunications and Postal Service.
Page 3. Are they on lunch?
Yeah, close to the
restaurant. Page 4. Page 5. Okay, move on second. Honorable Funda?
Second,
Chair.
Say?
Second.
All right, 2018,
27th March, page 1, 2, Three, four, five, move on the second.
Okay, Chair, hereby move that the minutes be accepted.
Sure.
Honorable Kaba moves. Seconder?
I second it, Chair.
Honorable Machoba seconds. I'm not sure why these minutes are so few. Yes, we're done with minutes. Honorable Teddy?
Can the Secretariat improve on this one? That we must not get the minutes in the meeting. Otherwise, we'll agree to issues that we have never processed before we come to the meeting. So all I'm saying is that can we get them in advance and get the opportunity to look at them?
No, you're right, Honorable said you must get, even if it's a night before or day before, so that members can go through minutes.
Did you get the minutes were emailed to members last week?
No, I got
the email. The minutes were emailed last week.
Yeah, my email.
Okay. No, it looked like minutes were sent. Soft copy, and only you, Honorable, said that you didn't get. I do have them as well, all of them. In fact, beyond that much. So please check that. Check that so that you don't raise that again. I thought it's me alone who has them. So all of us did get minutes. Members were done with the minutes. Just
there'll be lunch at 12. They come, but I've asked first to check if they can
send
it now.
Where and when?
Max Building Restaurant.
What time?
We asked for 1 o'clock, but I've asked first to go and check if they can make it now. Max Restaurant, the restaurant in Max Building. That's what they have.
Members, lunch Max Building.
Why?
Max Building Restaurant.
Sir, also, if you can just explain, this is not necessary. If I can just explain that the reason why we're having lunch,
no, we don't,
because we had anticipated the meeting to finish it later than this.
The meeting is adjourned.
Next meeting.
No, Kalobin say after the decision on Mayo, because I speculate on Thursday as a draft. Because it's